This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So these two missionaries are being sent to Cape Town to pastor the church in Cape Town. And they are in Cape Town now. And Debbie and Ronel, I'm going to give the microphone to you now just to say something. But we really love you. We honor you. And I've said in this platform many times that you really embody the heart of Christ, the heart of disciple making, the heart of mission, the heart of community. You really embody in your life what Christ has come to do on earth, to create a new community of all races and all nations, and to make his praise glorious. So we love you, and we're proud of you, and we know that you can pastor the church. You've been pastoring great parts of this church for a long time, and not just here in Bloemfontein, in Pretoria, Stellenbosch. So jy is ook al oral gewees, papa. It's like a, die by praat nie kosa nie. It's a joke between us, it's a family joke. Maybe just to explain the joke.
Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it a lot. Yes, first of all, Ross, I wonder. Ja, die lig is droog. Hy gaan moeilik uitkom, dink ek, man. Ons wil baie dankie sê vir jou, Ros. Ja, we want to say thank you. When we came here six years ago, we've always been zealous, but we had some work left, you know, that had to be done, and we could really see your way of life, and we could imitate your faith as a leader, as a mentor, as a spiritual father, and yeah, the Lord has always shown me this picture of us being a young wild horse that just wants to run, and he's holding us back, saying, not yet, not yet. But he's also shown me that now, over the last 6 years, he's transformed that passion into muscle with the necessary little bit of discipline, a little bit of maturity that we have grown in over the last 6 years, and it's been because of the work that you've done in us, that he's done in us through you. And I want to honor you for that, and thank you for that, and thank you that we can be sent, and that we can feel much more equipped. I know that zeal isn't enough, and we've got a bit more than that because of the time that we've spent with you. Yeah, thank you, Ross. And Magriet, so it's baie lief vir julle. And then we've made a lot of covenant friends. I don't usually cry in front of people. I cry alone. We've made covenant family with many of you who have lived with us, who haven't lived with us, but yet some of you that stays in very far countries also. And the beautiful thing of that is that it's never going to end. For eternity, that is never going to end. So this is not the end. It's just really special for us to commemorate that right now and look at it and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've added. And for the way we could have learned from you was amazing. We love you so much. And we are excited about the fact that our hearts, when we came here, our hearts I was really passionate for seeing individualistic culture broken and a culture of community and family being established, and also for a missional culture to be established here. And we are very excited to be able to walk out of here knowing that the Lord has done something in terms of that, in terms of community, in terms of family, in terms of mission. So we're very thankful. We're very humbled. We are extremely excited and yet sad. So it's quite a lot of emotions. And we moved yesterday, which has its own set of emotions. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, and we'll see you. We've got a nice braai at the new house, you are very welcome. We'll see you at the family camp next year. We've got a special invite as our congregation will be coming with. Looking forward to the rest of the partnership.
Kom kyk.
Die lig is te droog daai kind. Magriet, kan jy kom saam bid? Bernie, did you want to? I saw you back there. I saw you. He's wrapped it. Lekker. Okay, Bernie. Lekker. So we have prayed for you on once or twice. He's been ordained as a pastor. They've been ordained as pastors in Cape Town. Now we just want to pray with you, Father. Lord, I'm just going to get oil. I didn't say that to God. I said that to you. God, Debbie and Ronell are your sent ones. They've been your sent ones, God, since you called them. They belong to you. You saved them. You restored them. You poured your spirit inside of them. You gave them a vision and a passion together, God. And when they got married, you wove them together in that. And you gave them a son, and you'll give them more children. Thank you that they are your representatives, God. Without them doing anything, God, they are a symbol of God's restoring work, Lord. That you save people to the uttermost, God. So thank you for your love and your passion for them. Thank you, Lord, that they shine as bright lights in this dark world, God, and they have been to us, God. We follow their passion, God, in community. We follow their passion in mission, God. We follow their passion, God, just in the love for the transforming gospel of Christ, Lord, and for the empowerment of your spirit. We saw them, they impacted us, God, and now in the name of Jesus, we send them out, God, because your spirit prompted us to Cape Town. To lead a church. Thank you for entrusting to them a church, God, a community of believers. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that they will bear fruit, Lord, and disciples, God, that passionately love you, that live not for themselves, but for him who for their sake died. So in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you will shine your light of your favor upon them, that men will see them, that people will know them, God, and people will come to know Christ in them, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, that people will come to them and say, I want the life that you have. Show me what it is, God, that Christ may be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father God, I specifically wanted to pray for Ronell, and I just want to agree with what Debbie was saying, God, that they've really been prepared for a time like this, and I just see her be like a ripe fruit that's broken open and that everybody can taste and really enjoy your goodness through her life, God. I ask, Father God, that as she steps into this new role, God, that she will do it with boldness and without fear, Lord, and that she will do it with the beauty that we know her within her, Lord, and that we've come to recognize, God. And I ask, Lord, that you will help her, Lord, to just present the sweetness and present the taste and present the flavor that is within her, God, that people will come to her and come to the church and come to you because of her, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray for a spirit of meekness and a spirit of wisdom for this couple, Lord, as they go to shepherd your sheep. We pray, Lord, that they will be able to connect with you every day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the couple overflow always, and that the living waters will flow through them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the difficult days, and we thank you for the awesome days, that you will be with them always, that you'll protect them, you'll guide them. And Lord, we send them with the love of the Lord. We send them knowing, Lord, that they are ready, And we send them, Lord, knowing that they are God's chosen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm going to ask you something that we don't often do. But we're a people that reach nations and generations through leadership development, or through discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. And they embody so much of what they're doing as a church. So don't you want to stand up and honor God and honor them and what they're doing? Amen. En Ronel het nog hierdie jaar 'n M-klaar gemaak. Wat 'n masjien, wat 'n masjien. Because we have three really exciting testimonies, I just want to create a backdrop for the testimonies. And the small group on duty, do we have anyone of the small group on duty just to raise a hand, please? Anyone? Can I ask that someone from the small group on duty, just maybe Johannes, you can help. This is not going to be enough communion. Sorry, my engineering brain just... It's not going to work. Yeah. Kan ons nog so bietjie maak? Net so klein bietjie. Dankie. So, our God is a God that is always leading us greater. And I'm not going to just do a flat, shallow pump up thing for you. I want to tell you that's the nature of God. That's why Jesus came to earth. It's because the world is broken and the world is out of whack. But Christ came to establish God's reign. So whenever we live and wherever we go, God is always restoring us and always making us new, transforming us into His nature. And wherever we go, the reign of God manifests, and God is doing that. Our God is always leading us greater. It's the end of the year. We've seen great things that God has done. We can put up our stones here if we were to build an Ebenezer, you know, like in Samuel did. When the Philistines got conquered by the Israelites, we can build a heap of stone here and say, listen, this is my stone to say that this is what God has done for me this year. See, the Lord reigns. God is good. See what God has done. But then with that, I want to say that this is it, but this is not the ultimate of what God's going to do in your life or through your life or among us or in this nation. We haven't seen the peak yet. I want to say that as Christians and as believers, I want to encourage you and say that God is always moving greater. From glory to glory, God is always growing in His goodness. His reign is always being established. Listen, the world is full of fear. Every newspaper, every article, every scientist, every expert that stands up is full of fear. Always. It's not new. It's always been like this. It's always been like this because fear reigns in the world. But greater is He that lives in us than he lives in the world. God is always establishing His kingdom. We've preached this 2 years ago, Revelation chapter 5, where John is crying and saying, God, I know that you reign in heaven. It's amazing. But Lord, I see the churches in Ephesus bleeding, poor, hungry, earthquakes, poverty, violence, and then on top of that, immorality, seduction, and the sin in this world, the desire for riches. It's just, I see corruption in every form. And he's crying out, he's saying, God, I see you are the good, perfect diamond on the throne, God, and everywhere there's power. But God, the problem is you're up there, we're down here. Who's going to see your reign established? And then one of the elders cried out, Revelation 5, with a loud voice, saying, weep no more. Cry no more, weep no more, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. And he has taken the scroll, picture speak, to say, see, this is how he's going to roll out. This is how he's going to establish God's reign. See that he has done it. I'm going to say the same to you. We've had a great year. Some of you have really had a terrible year. I've had spoken to some people who had a terrible year. I saw my own face on the video just now, and I saw like, ooh, speaking mukhai da. It's not bad editing. That is with the beauty function in the photo, in the video. It still looks like that. I see myself and I'm going like, ah, the years had its toll on you. And then I have to say to my face, Fasbait, greater glory is coming. God is up to something great. God is always up to something great. God is always busy establishing His reign. God is always recreating, reestablishing. It's not as though God built creation and say, oh, sorry, mankind, daar gaan alles verbal. The reason why Christ has come and why in the Old Testament he sent his prophets and the New Testament he sends his church is because God is rebuilding. God is reestablishing. God is making all things new. The best is yet to come. God is up to something great. It's the next slide there. I just have five slides with five simple lines. It says, and this is the reason why we can hope. Last Sunday evening, during the prophet, someone brought a prophecy in tongues. Three people brought interpretation, and they saw something of coming home, coming back to basics and things like that. But this is the picture which embodies what they said, what I saw. So I looked on the internet until I found it. Something like this. You can't really see, but in the shadow there, there's this beautiful little village, a cottage, and things down there. And I saw these hikers coming down the hill to this beautiful, picturesque place which they've always wanted to go. And it's a picture of us going to heaven. It's a picture of us walking to this beautiful paradise. The reason for our journey is that home. And we say, guys, we are going to home. We are going home. But just like the friend of the gladiator, I want to say, not yet. Not yet, because the best is yet to come in this world. God is establishing among us something beautiful, which Jebby and Ronel just said. God is creating community, he's creating love, he's creating peace, he's reconciled. There are testimonies of reconciliation. There are testimonies, if I can ask this, the people who got diamonds this year to put up their hands, the place will be full of that. The people are really receiving promises. And it's not as though everyone has received everything that they desire or trust for God. I'm not going to say we're going to get all those things. But what I am saying is there's so much hope because of the testimony sitting in this room today. God is moving among us. God is up to something great. God really is establishing his reign. His peace, righteousness, and joy is flooded in this place. There are speckles everywhere. And the reason is because God has forever bound himself with me and you. If we were left to ourselves, sad case. If we were left to our own wisdom, it would have been bad. If we were left to our own abilities, it would have been bad. Even combined, and they're bright people, yeah? But even combined, we can't foresee the future, but our God can. And our God reigns. And we know this ends in glory, and we know this life ends in Christ establishing his victory. I just want to say to the naysayers and to the doom prophets, God isn't done with South Africa because his kingdom is coming. His reign is coming to this nation. If you want to flee, sad. You're going to flee for the rest of your life because corruption is wherever you go. But because of us here representing a small portion, a small speck of God's great church in this nation, God is up to something great. Christ is establishing. That's what the elder said to John in heaven. He said, weep no more. No reason to cry. Stop crying, man. Christ is reigning. He's establishing his kingdom. The Lord is coming. The Lord is at hand. And God isn't reigning out there. He's right here. Wherever you go, God is. Wherever you go, God is. I'm going to say that the next slide. The best life is yet to come. And just for that one scripture in the bottom, I put it up for you. John, first testimony, first miracle that Jesus did. He says, bring your best wine. You think this is great? You haven't tasted what Christ has for you. You haven't tasted what Christ has for you. I sat listening to our small group last week and this week, and I was so amazed at, and Anahet and some of the people said it specifically. They said, you know what's amazing? It's as though we had these plans for our year. And then God came. And it's like, wow, they never saw this happening. She could never picture this. But now she's sitting, and I'm not going to share her testimony, where she's sitting and what God has done for her for this year. God surprised her. Life threw a few curveballs, but it doesn't outweigh what Christ has done in her life with it. Say she never planned. And I'm not just talking about peace and goodness and life on earth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God intervening in her life in a very special way, what she has never expected. I'm going to say to you, if you feel that your wine is running out, if you feel that your wine has run out this year, Christ makes better wine and more wine than we can ever have. Wine translates in life, community, joy. That's what it means there. God is up to something great. God is up to something great. And then the next one, maybe just putting up to that. You know, maybe you reached a hill this year in your life because you've got the ring, because you've got the wife from the east. Some people have wise men. He opted for a wife from the east. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's the house that you prayed for. Maybe it's the job that you prayed for and eventually got. You know, maybe it's just a restoration of peace. Maybe it's a reconciliation in relationships that you've wanted for. I want to say it's not over. God is up to something great. God always has plans to prosper you. God is not done with your life. God is done with your life when he takes you home. When he takes you home and you open your eyes and you see you with him at a wedding feast, then you know you're home. But up until that point, I'm going to say God is not done with your life. So therefore, God is not done with the purposes in your life. And his purposes are always for prosperity and welfare. And not just for you, not just for the individual, but for those around you and for this whole nation and for the whole world. God is up to something great. Glory to glory, always greater. His promises and his joy is always greater than we have right now. Your best promise is yet to come. And then just looking in the mirror, and every now and then, I know that I'm an introspective type of person, and I'm not just looking at the lines under my eyes, but I'm looking at the lines of my character. And you know, when the pressure gets hard, the end of the year especially, and when you're moving, Diabia, and when you have to finish a thesis, Runel, and when you have to do stuff, then the character shows. The lack in the character shows. The breaks in the character shows. I want to say, God is not done with me. You haven't seen the best Ross yet. You haven't seen the best you yet. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm saying God is always at work in you, giving you the desire and the ability to fulfill your will. He who started a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. He will complete it. He is not done with you. He is the author and the perfecter, the finisher of your faith. What God has started in you, he will not stop. So maybe it's the end of the year, and maybe you're thinking, wow, I've grown old. I don't think I like myself anymore. I'm saying, God loves you, but God is not done with you yet. God is crafting the character of Christ in you. God is busy with you. God has not forgotten you. God has not left you behind. God is busy with you. And I want to say what God is doing in you, he's really creating the glory of Christ in you. And this is what the scripture says. So just keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Paul writes, he says, looking at him, we are being transformed into his image from glory to glory, constantly, ever, ever glorifying. God is up to something great with you. When you look at your husband, just smile. God is up to something great in your husband and in your wife, even in your teenager. God is really up to something great because Christ, the hope of glory, dwells inside of them. God is up to something great, believer. God is up to something great. Just the next one. Maybe you had a few great victories in your life, a few great testimonies that God has told you. I want to say that God is not done. That was not the biggest one. It's always the lion, the bear, Goliath, the Philistines, Jerusalem. Ask David. It's always greater. Maybe, like I said last week, you picked up a few scars along the line. Those scars are ranks of your faith. It means you've been there, you've been tested, and you've been proved by God. You stepped out of that battle, and the Lord says, I will entrust even greater to you. In the beginning, when we're young, the battle is for us, maybe for our dad's sheep. But later, the older you come, I want to say you'll see that your battles has got nothing to do with your peace or your welfare. It's got everything to do with God's glory, other people's marriages, other people's lives. The greatest battles that we're still going to face is coming. But we know the end. The book is written, and we'll be glorious. Christ the victor is marching in. You have not faced your greatest battles. You're going to win greater things, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the victory of our faith. Our faith is great. God has conquered all. I want to encourage you. It's going to be a great next year. At the end of next year, there will be a few great, great testimonies coming still. And the last one, I want you to look around you. Look at the people next to you. You think we've got great community. Some of you really enjoy great community. Some of you are still growing into great community. We're looking at Urban. What God has done there in the last few years, the community that he's establishing. We're looking at the people that we're sending from our church, the elders that we're getting in the church. We're looking at the kids that are growing up. We're looking at the programs. We're looking at Delft at the ECD Center with 1,500 kids being transformed because of that impact on the teachers there. Small things starting to happen, small streams of justice flowing. I want you to look around you and see some love, feel some love. But I want you to know that this is not the church that Jesus is coming back for, because Christ is working in us. He's perfecting us. He's working among us, His glory and His love. God is at work among us, and God is not finished with this church. And not just with this church, but this church and this nation. We are a small speck of what God is doing in this nation. Everywhere God is building pockets of real community that witness true love and true goodness. And we are a small pocket, but I just want you to know that Christ is coming back for a spotless bride. If you notice some spots here, yeah, yeah, no surprise there. Just want you to know that Christ is perfecting us. God is not done with this church. This is not the best that this church will be, and this is not the best that the church will be in South Africa. God is perfecting His people everywhere. I want you just to take a moment, just think back on your year. Think about the greatest moments that you had in the year. And we had many. If you can't think of yours, think of the person next to yours' greatest moments. Does not compare to what God is going to do in us, among us, through us, and for us. All things work together for the good for those who love God. We serve a God that is always building, always establishing, always perfecting, always establishing His reign. We serve a great God. And now we're going to have a moment to listen to three testimonies. I'm going to ask those who testify, because I know two of them, and they love talking. So I'm not looking at Johannes for that reason. Johannes is not testifying today. I'm avoiding the others. But I want you guys to share your testimonies of God's goodness, and then we'll have communion and commemorate ours. Because like Dale said, we priests, always commemorating, always thanking, and always praising God. Beautiful Siko, will you come forward and share what God has done for you this year? Kom ons geef Siko 'n klap.
Am I one of the ones that talk too much? Hello, church. it's really good to be here and to share just what the Lord has done in my life. In this year specifically, I will try and be short, be brief, but be clear. I just want to start with just a scripture that I have for us, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." And just even as we were worshiping, I felt the Lord saying, we need to stay close to Him. We need to stay close to Him. So whether we're going through highs or lows or amazing times or even in the tough times, our only victory is in staying close to Him. So I just want to encourage us with that. And that being said, I just want to share a quick testimony about my job. So I'm currently working at Mediclinic, instead of Bosch, the corporate office, but it was quite a journey getting there. So in 2015, I was in consulting, and I'd been doing that for about 2 years, and I asked the Lord, "Dad, what's my next step? Should I continue to stay in this job? I feel quite comfortable. I love the people. The job is quite strenuous at times, but I need to hear from you whether I should go or not." So a friend of mine and I, we started to just pray and fast for my job. And the next thing I knew, I had an email in my inbox from my master's head back at UCT saying, "Here's a job. I think you'd be great at it. See how that goes. And I think you should apply." So I did that, and I was at UCT. And it was great. When I got there, it wasn't long before the Lord told me, "You've got 2 years here." And He said, He gave me a date in March 2018. In March 2018, I'll move you. But now you've got 2 years here, but it's not going to be fun. So So I thought, but at that point, I didn't know. I just heard the Lord saying, Siko, it's going to be a tough time. It's going to, not necessarily linking it to my new job. So I started asking everyone to pray for me. Everyone that I'm like, guys, I don't know, is my mom going to die? And you can ask everyone. I would just break down in tears during dinner because I had no idea what was waiting for me. But I knew God said he's with me. When I walk through fire, he's with me. And I will not in any way be drowned. And I went all the way to India for a mission. And I got the same word, like, it's going to be rough. I got back here at church. Again, it's going to be rough. And I realized that it had a lot to do with my work and stuff. And it was really a rough 2 years at UCT. It was great in building relationships, but I went through a lot of stuff. And I'd always known the joy of the Lord. It was my happy space. So when I sort of learned a few things about what it actually means to suffer a little bit like Christ, I couldn't believe it. I was like, Lord, I'm going to quit. And I know the Lord said, he told me because he knew if he didn't tell me, I would have quit on the process. So he had to tell me up front that I know what I'm doing, I'm in control, but you need to stick with me. And it was such a time of mirroring for me. Like Ross said, like it was like I was seeing things in my character that I mean, I thought I was amazing, but so like I couldn't believe the things that I was seeing in my character. And at the beginning I was resisting the process. So I heard what the Lord said, but it wasn't nice to be there, and I kept on taking chances, asking the Lord, when is it okay for me to quit? Like, not necessarily my job, but quit on the process. I don't want to be back in this process again. And I really felt the Lord saying, you need to stay there. It's for your good and stuff. And when I started to walk in the process of what he was doing in my life, and he was just really mirroring just weaknesses that I had. He was mirroring what it's like to stay close to him, even when things are tough. And I remember So I was taking over processes there that weren't mine. So things that have been going on for years, and we were trying to recruit people, like all the top people of UCT, the VCs and stuff. And I felt so exposed, and I didn't have the opportunity to vindicate myself. I'm like, no, this is something I took over from someone else. It's actually, I'm cleaning up this mess. And it really felt, it was a tough time, like really being exposed and just feeling humiliated in some ways, really feeling like people are thinking you're not doing a great job. And I'm like, I'm just trying to put what has been broken together. And God said, you know what, you're going to be here and you're going to do this and you're going to do it to the best of your ability and you're going to do it well. And I just remember being tested so many times and really wanting to give up at times. And but at some point I decided that whatever happens, I'm in this, and I'm going to allow God to do what he wants to do. And I remember making that decision. I got up the one day, everyone had left. It's me in my office and I had the whole floor to myself. And I just really started worshiping God and praying for my workplace and praying. And then I really felt that I should pray for healing specifically, that there's a lot of people that are walking around in sickness there, and I really should warfare in that. And literally the very next day, a colleague of mine came and said, you know, Atsiko, I know that you pray. Can you please pray for me? I've got cysts, and I've shared the testimony. And that lady got healed of her cysts. She went into the surgery. The doctor, now he's one of the best in the world. He's at the UCT radiology or whatever space, and he's like, sorry, I operated on you, but when I opened you up, there was nothing there. I'm so sorry. And she's like, yes, I know what happened. My colleague prayed for me. So that was such a big testimony for me. And I walked in the midst of it the whole 2 years. And it was a time of joy where God was really helping me to walk in it, but to be so fruitful. I'd never experienced, like, you can be going through such a tough time, but still allow God to reign in your life and stuff. And I never forgot his promise that he said 2 years. So around February, this year, I'm like, okay, Dad, this was really great. I can still be here because your kingdom is coming here. Yeah? So it's not even about the job anymore, but I just want to be where you are. So if you're here and you want me to be here, it's fine. But I know you said in March 2018 that you would move me wherever it is. So I'm like, okay, it should still be here at UCT. I think I've got this Christianity thing on lockdown here at UCT. Don't lead me to another place. I have to start all over again. And then, yeah, I really felt the Lord say, no, I'm going to move you. Just wait and see and don't do anything. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I started just praying into it. And by that time, I told all my colleagues that I'm leaving. In March 2018, because the Lord said to me. So now my colleagues are like, oh, March 2018. And I'm like, okay, great, Lord, any minute now. So something came up. Something came up at UCT. I'm like, Lord, is this it? And the Lord's like, nope, this is not it. Because I'm like, at least I need to move departments. Something needs to happen. And it wasn't long before, literally, I got a call from my first boss in March. Saying, Siko, there's a post that I think you would really be great at. And I really feel that you should apply for it and stuff. And yeah, if you want to apply, we're doing interviews on the 27th of March. And we'll let you know by the end of the month what is happening. And by that time, even a friend of mine had a dream where she was able to share with me that I got this really weird dream. But for me, I knew exactly what it meant. And it was special to me that God really is faithful. He is true to his word and he really accomplishes all that he says he's going to do in our lives. And I went for the interview. I mean, I thought now after all my experience at UCT, I'm great. I've got this interview on lockdown. I came back. I told my friends at home, I'm like, guys, it's like I had all the ammunition. My gun was loaded, but I couldn't shoot. Like it was the most horrible interview ever. But God really came through and I knew it was really something that was out of his hand. So I just really want to encourage you again to stay close to him. Because the only time you can get through tough times is if you actually know what's on his heart for you. And if you allow him to encourage you and keep you going in those times. Otherwise, it's easy for us to quit on the process when things aren't nice and when things aren't comfortable. And that's really my heart for us to really grow in intimacy with him so that we're able to rule and reign with him even when things aren't going well on our side. Amen.
Bye, donkey, Siko. Bye, donkey. Matthew.
Like
yes, she did get the job after the horrible interview. That's why she's testifying. Yeah. Thanks, Debbie. See the two industrial psychologists having conversation. Oh, we only have one left. Sorry, Debbie. Pastor.
Thanks, Ross. Yeah, I'm definitely not one of the people that's going to be talking for long, so you don't have to worry. I just wanted to share, we've joined Shofar almost a year ago, so it's been about a year, coming up to a year now. And before we got here, we'd gone through a really rough time as a family, like really, really horrible, really tough, a lot of things that went down, to the point that we were almost questioning, you know, what is this Christianity thing about? You know, like, have we wasted the last 10 years? That's the place we came to Shofar at. And I just want to say that the Lord can really take any situation and turn it around. No matter where you are, no matter what you've gone through, nothing's too big for him. And we had a walk a road. It's been a long road, but I just, again, so grateful for where the Lord put us. He knew we needed a soft place to land, and he brought us here. And just the friendships we've made and the people that he's been using to speak into our lives have really touched us and have really grown our faith. And where we are now, we don't even recognize the people that we were a year ago. So thank you to everybody that's, you know, welcomed us. And thank you to Ross and Machit and Yanni and Kim and everybody that's kind of just gathered around us and just and been there for us. And the thing about the last couple of months, we've had a We've walked the road of forgiveness. We realized we were choosing to carry unforgiveness towards certain people from before we joined. And if you'd spoken to me 6 months ago and told me, like, I would have to phone these people and say, you know, I forgive you, then I would have laughed at you. It wasn't going to happen. But starting this journey, but we knew we had to do it because we knew it wasn't right just to hold unforgiveness and all that kind of stuff. So we started this journey. And one day, the turning point for me was, and it's again what Ross has been talking about here today, when I realized that it was a specific day, and I realized just what the Lord has done for me and what he did, and he came and he died for us. Before we were sinners, he forgave us. So how can I hold unforgiveness towards his other, you know, other people who are also his children? And when I started just thinking about and meditating about what he's done, what he's actually done for us, the hurts and the unforgiveness just paled in comparison. It wasn't even a big thing anymore. It was the Holy Spirit came, and he changed my heart, and that realization was huge. So to the fact that 2 weeks ago we made all the phone calls, and the Lord was in that process as well. He went before us, he protected us, he gave us words to speak, to the point that we were actually encouraging those people as well who might not be on the same journey and also still be holding hurts and unforgiveness. And I'm just trusting for the Lord for the restoration of those relationships, you know, the full restoration, because that's what he wants. He wants his church to, you know, to be one. We all, no matter where we go, no matter where we fellowship, we are all his people, and he loves us. So I'm trusting the Lord for that, and the testimony has just flown since that. I mean, we were holding on to that unforgiveness, and it was like a massive weight dragging behind us. And by making those simple phone calls, it's like that rope has been cut, and we are free to move. We are free to experience him, and we're experiencing his goodness and his favor and just more of who he is in our lives. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's an amazing thing. And I want to encourage everybody, if you have unforgiveness or anything like that towards anybody else, really pray about it and go and take that first step, because it's that obedience thing. You take the first step, but the Holy Spirit, I promise you, will meet you there, and he will help you to finish the journey. So yeah, we're also trusting for great things for next year. Amen.
It's amazing. When you walk into heaven one day, there will be lots of people's fingerprints all over you, because God has molded you. And Yanni and Kim, thank you for your work of restoration with God in Vanette and Matthew's life. Beautiful story. Lisa Lowe. Dankie. Yay. Mooi story hierdie.
Good day, church. My name is Lisa. I am 30 years old, and I've been living in Belleville for the past 30 years. My dad died when I was 3 years old. I have no recollection of him. I do not know how he looked apart from pictures. I have no idea who he is. So I kind of grew up with that gap. And I remember my mom saying that, you know, because her dad died when she was young as well, it's just nothing that fills that void. It's just always going to be there. So, you know, you just have to go ahead and you'll be good. And my mom, she dated some other men. They came and they went and they left. This one particular guy sticked for about 10 years. He was, he loved drinking a lot and loved fighting a lot. So when I was young, I found myself running to the neighbors to ask for help with the fighting a lot. So I grew up with just this disappointment of people always lying, people never sticking around. And just knowing that I will never be able to trust people because they hurt from a very young age. That's me. And I knew that to survive, I have to count on myself, and I can do this. I know I can do this, so that's good. I grew up, and I supported myself. I started working from a very young age to make sure that I have what I need to survive. And I also went searching for something to fill that void wherever I could, however I could. And it was obviously with men mostly, because that's what I longed for, is that love and that affection from a man or from a father figure. And I grew up in church. I knew about God, but it's kind of like it went over me. It never occurred to me that, I mean, I can't see God and He can't touch me and He won't speak to me. And I mean, I've grew up with this, so that's not going to work for me. So, needless to say, I fell in a lot of sin, and I should not be here today. I should not be walking this earth. It's pure grace and it's pure mercy that I am here, and that I survived, and that God decided that I'm good enough to keep on walking in this earth. So, after school, I found a job. And I started singing and for Barnyard, and I found my identity in my music. That's who I was, and I was good at this one thing. No matter what happens, I knew what happened when I sang. It was good, and I was doing something right, even though it's not for God. It felt good. It felt right. So after a year and 3 months, they told me, it's done. Contract is finished. It's not going to be renewed. Go back to Cape Town. So I came back here and I found another job. And from there, I started going to church. I had a depression, and God delivered me very graciously from that. Immediately, I left the tablets immediately, so it was good, but I fell off the wagon again. And it took my best friend, who was praying for years and years and years in obedience, for me to come to church. So I remember one evening I was in my room alone, and I was just like, I don't want to live this life anymore. It's not worth it. So just if you are there and if you love me, come and take me and just stop it, because it's so bad. It hurts so bad. I don't want to do this anymore. And for that, I had my first proper relationship. It was a long-term relationship for me. So it was about 3 years. And I believed that I have a small heart because of that void. So I trusted this guy with everything. I gave him every single thing that I have. I literally gave everything. And the day he decided he had enough and it broke it off is the day that I knew I do not have a heart. I do not have anything left. I am a shell of a person, and I need to... That's it. So that evening, I told God, if you're there and if you are kind like you say you are, and if you have mercy, then just come and show me some mercy and just end it in my life, and because I'm done, I can't do this anymore. So the next day, after a billion times that my best friend told me, just please come to church with me, please just come again, I told her, okay, fine, I'll come and. Just once. And then that evening I went to a house before church, and she just said, look, I'm not feeling good. I'm just not going to go tonight. But yeah, so let's go next week. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's fine with me. I don't want to be in anyway, so it's okay. And a few minutes later, she's just like, you know what? I'm okay. Let's go. Let's go immediately. So that evening, Dale gave his testimony. And I don't know what it was. I remember, I think I sat around about there at the back, and I still to this day don't know why and what God did there, but I guess it was a sense of hope. It's ironic for me because it was a alcoholic giving his testimony, and I come from that, so I don't want to speak to someone like that ever. And in his story, I found hope in Ross. God showed me kindness through him, through Dale. God showed me just hope. And there's a lot of people, key people in the church that just showed me a father's heart and different areas of a father's heart. Even Conrad, who one evening I decided, okay, I'm going to do the church thing. I'm going to do this, but I don't like the worship so much. So I'm going to come like 10 minutes before the preaching actually should start, and then I'm good. And then I remember I sat there at the back, and Conrad came to the front, and he's like, "You do not miss worship, ever." And I'm like, "Sweet Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." So, and since that day, I just had this fears for Conrad, and now he's taking my pictures. I decided that God started talking to me about being baptized. And I sat in the front here that evening, and I was shaking so bad because I was so, so scared. And I knew this is something that I have to do. I know I have to do, and there's no way around this. But I was so damn scared to do this, and I don't know why. And in that moment, I just heard God say, It's so soft. Now your healing starts. And I didn't know what that means. And if I knew, I probably would have stood up and ran away, because that was the 3 years since then. And it was the hardest of my life. But still in that time, through people, God showed me his love and his kindness and his mercy. And he took me through deliverance. And there's one evening specifically where Bernie came to the church before he was permanently here. And I remember sitting there, and he stood and he said that there's someone specifically here who has this sin, and you need to speak to someone, and you need to know that you are forgiven. And I remember that the whole church started praying. I don't know how to explain it, but it was just tongues everywhere. And I was forgiven. And I'm free of that sin. I'm free. I'm getting married. I'm getting married, and I received a new heart. A new heart that can feel, and it's strong enough for everything that happens around me. And it's just grace. It's nothing else. Where I am grace. I'm walking in mercy every single day. And God has been faithful to the end. He never lied. He never left me. He never disappointed me. I'm free, and I'm loved, and I'm new. And he taught me to be a bride so that I can be one for my husband. And I'm going to marry him the 9th of March next year. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your obedience. It saved me.
Die lig is droog hiervoor. Amen. Amen. God is alive and at work, and I love the stories because it's the people. So God is good. Let's celebrate. Think about your year. In the hope and anticipation, what God is going to do is greater. And let's have communion, because the reason why we can share in, why we can say the hope of glory Christ in me, is because of his shed blood and his broken body. He came to redeem us, to reconcile himself to us forever, now and forever. That's why we have a living hope. So in our communion today, we can share in the living hope in Christ. I'm going to ask Dale and Karin, as julle oë nie te droog te nat is nie. Lindy, Elana, can you lead us in a song of worship while we're handing out the communion and celebrate the life of Christ? Amen. Father, we thank you that you loved us, God, and that you saved us by taking our sin, our suffering, our sickness, and our judgment upon yourself,
so we can be justified in your sight, God, so we can be forever united with you. Thank you that you loved us enough to stretch far out and to bring us to yourself at a very dear cost. We are loved, God, and today I want to say we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you've been good to us. If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, then we would have been in trouble, God. Thank you for the dams that are full, for the water restrictions that are fading. Thank you for the testimonies of life, God, that we have. And especially today, we want to thank you for the living hope. And we know that, God, you are up to something great. And I pray for us as a congregation and our families. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May you experience his grace and his constant forgiveness this year. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and may he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can hug someone, then take them some snacks at the back, some coffee. God bless you. There won't be any evening service next week. There'll be a morning service and a worship service in the evening. Amen. Thank you, worship band.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.